Okay, so I will take I would like first I would like to take this opportunity to thank the organizer to arrange this online talk. My title is I hope you can all see my slides, right?
Yes, you can
So
see
my
them.
title is Beyond the Okay. And my title is Beyond the Search of Marana Zero Mode. And in this talk, I will introduce our recent work on generalizing the concept of Marana Zero Mode to higher quantum dimensions systematically by using anyon condensation. So let me first introduce my collaborators, Chaoming Jian from Stanford University and Professor Xiaogang Wen from Parameter Institute. Okay, so the search of a Marana zero mode in condensed matter system has attracted much research attention recently. And there are many examples, and most examples are in the fermion models, like the one-dimensional Kitaev Marana chain, which is basically a thinless P-wave superconductor, in which the Marana zero mode appears at the end of the chain. Or this two-dimensional P plus IP superconductor with pi vortex, where this Marana zero mode appears in the vortex core. So the most interesting property of Marana zero mode is the non-abelian statistics, that when you braid two Marana zero modes, this will lead to a fundamentally different kind of ground state after braiding. So these non-abelian statistics allows us to use Marana zero modes to do topological quantum computation against decoherence. There are many practical realizations proposed in many different kind of systems, and as revealed by Alicia in a very recent, very nice review paper. So what is the nature of Marana zero mode indeed? From our point of view, we think the Marana zero mode actually represents the ground state degeneracy of the topologically ground state degeneracy of a many-body system. So each pair of Marana zero modes actually associated to two folds of ground state degeneracy. This is usually argued like this, that if you have a pair of Marana zero modes represented by these Marana fermion operators gamma 1 and gamma 2, then you can combine this fermion operator gamma 1 and gamma 2 into Dirac fermion operator DAG. So this CDAG, C and CDAG operator defines the two-dimensional Hilbert space of either occupying or not occupying this Dirac fermion state. So because this zero mode has zero energy, so no matter occupy or not occupy this state, will lead to the state of the same energy. So these two states are degenerated. So this constitutes the single particle picture of understanding Marana zero modes, which is basically based on the idea of filling up fermion energy levels. However, this single particle picture is not generalizable, because when we come to more complicated many-body systems, especially those with strong correlations, we might not even be able to define what is a single particle energy level for these fermions. So we stress that the many-body picture of viewing Marana zero mode as topological ground state degeneracy is more general. And this many-body picture that is using the ground state degeneracy allows us to go beyond the current search of Marana zero mode. So we can immediately ask ourselves two questions. Why should we restrict ourselves in a fermion system? Can we go to the boson or spin system, which might also have this topological ground state degeneracy? So can the ground state degeneracy in this boson or spin system be represented as some kind of Marana zero mode? And why should each pair of zero mode associated to two-fold degeneracy? Can this two-fold be generalized to three-fold or four-fold or five-fold? So the first problem has been tackled by Bobbin in 2010. He was able to show that the lattice dislocations in a Z2 plus K model actually can be rendered into Marana zero mode. And along this line of thought, we generalize the Marana zero mode to higher quantum dimensions. That is to answer the second question from twofold to n-fold. And we can do that systematically by any uncondensation. Of course, there are still many other approaches to answer this second question, and I may probably mention at the end of my talk. So let me first give a brief review of this Z2 Plaquet model. And most of the properties here is already known to the community, but I will review it because I want to introduce some kind of string representation which will be convenient for our for the later development of the of our theory. So this Z2 Plaquet model is basically a variation of the Kitaev toroidal model. It was introduced by Xiaogang Wen 10 years ago. So the Plaquet model actually is defined on a square lattice on a square lattice of qubits. That means we have a square lattice, and on each side there's a qubit, or we can say a spin. The qubit has two basis states, 0 or 1. And we introduce the qubit operator sigma z to measure the qubit and sigma x to flip the qubit. So these two operators are basically the Pauli matrix, sigma z and sigma x. And they follow the commutation, actually anti-commutation relation of this xz equals minus vx. So the Hamiltonian of the Z2 Plaquet model is simply a four qubit interaction, or we can say a four spin interaction. So on each plaquet labeled by P, the qubits on its corner sides, on these four corner sides, are coupled together by this plaquet operator OP, which follows the form of a four spin ring exchange, this interaction. So using the commutation relation here, we can show that all these plaquet operators commute with each other. So the Hamiltonian is simply a sum of commuting operators. So the eigenstate of the Hamiltonian is simply the common eigenstate of all these plaquet operators OP. But each plaquet operator OP takes two eigenvalues, either plus one or minus one. So the energy of this Hamiltonian is minimized if all these plaquet operators take the eigenvalue plus one. So that defines the ground state. The ground state is simply the state on which OP operator takes eigenvalue plus one for all these plaquets. And the excitations is like for some plaquets, if the OP operator takes the eigenvalue minus one, then that's called an excitation. Then we say that that particular plaquet is excited, and or we can say the plaquet holds the excitation of the Z2 plaquet model. So actually there is an underlying string structure in the Z2 plaquet model. So let's say the qubit stays represented by this crust. That means the site. So the action of a sigma z operator on a site, on a qubit, can be graphically represented by a slash going through that site. And the action of sigma x on a qubit state can be represented by an anti-slash. Therefore, the commutation relation between sigma x and sigma z can be simply drawn like this. So this is like a slash that is a sigma z first, and then we apply a sigma x would equal to minus sigma x first, and then followed by a sigma z. So we call this slash because we will draw this slash on the lattice, so we call them strings. So the rule is that these two strings crossing through each other will let out the minus sign. And the Hamiltonian of the plaquet model is the sum of these plaquet operators. And these plaquet operators can be represented as a ring because you can see the string going through the first site in the slash direction. So that's interpreted as sigma z acting on the first site. And string going through the second site by along the anti-slash direction. So it's sigma x acting on the second site. And so on, we can have sigma z on the third side, and then we have sigma x on the fourth side. So these four operators timed together is a closed ring. And the ground state is defined as a state on which OP operator takes the eigenvalue plus one. So that simply means for each plaque OP operator, so this ring operator OP acting on the ground state simply do nothing. So this can be drawn as the following picture, that you can throw a ring on the ground state and the ring will simply disappear. So if you can put a ring on the ground state, you can put a second ring like this. And these two rings actually share the same sigma z operator here twice. So these two sigma z actually are product to the identity operator. So that means these two rings can combine into a larger loop. So because one ring can disappear on the ground state, so two rings can also disappear on the ground state, which means we actually can edit or remove these closed strings freely from the ground state or from the vacuum. So these are the basic rules of the Z2 plaque model. The strings commuting with each other get a minus sign, and we can add closed strings to the ground state. So the ground state simply is a superposition of all kinds of states with all kinds of closed strings. So this is a string net condensate, actually. So the ground state is actually a topological state which has topological degeneracy on closed manifolds. And okay, so now we talk about excitations. The excitations of the Z2 plaque model can be created by using by acting open strings on the ground state. So open string is still a series of these qubit operators. So let's consider acting this open string S operator on the ground state. And it's claimed that two excitations will be created at the ending plaquettes here and here. So to detect these excitations, we throw a ring operator surrounding the ending plaquette. And we use the commutation relation to bring the ring backwards. So this gets a minus sign. And then we resolve the ring into the ground state. Okay, so we end up with this formula. So this equation simply means that the ring operator OP measures around this plaque gets a minus sign. That means the ring operator equals minus one, takes the minus one eigenvalue surrounding this plaque. So that means this plaque is excited. And according to this Hamiltonian, each excitation carries two units of energy. So the same argument follows in this in the other ending plaque. So actually, the open string creates two excitations, a pair of excitations at both ends. And then we can use open string operators further to move this excitation to the next plaque or to other plaque. So like this. But however, this string only goes in the diagonal direction, as we can see here, because all strings are made out of the sigma z and sigma x operators, and both operators are along the diagonal direction. So this string only connects one set of the plaquettes. For example, the red string here only connects the red plaquettes, and this red dot excitation can only travel through half of this can only travel through this red plaquettes. And on the other half of the plaquette, that is this blue plaquette, leads another kind of excitation. So we can partition the lattice into the even plaquette and odd plaquette. And that's called the excitation in the even plaquette as a charge as electric charge or E charge, and excitation in the odd plaquette as magnetic charge or M charge. Of course, the partition of even or odd plaquette is a convention, because we can actually switch the even with odd by shifting one lattice constant. So in this model, E charge and M charge are essentially symmetric to each other. The most interesting property is that the bound state of E and M is actually an emergent fermion. This is because there's a mutual statistic between the E charge and M charge, which can be seen from the following animation. That we first wind the E charge around the M charge, and then we use the commutation to commute this ring to the backwards, and we get a minus sign, and then we resolve the ring into the ground state. So this shows that E charge going around M charge will acquire a minus sign. And when it comes to the bound state of EM, the EM bound state going around another EM bound state will acquire two minus signs. But however, if you want to exchange these two EM bound states, that's equivalent to going halfway round. So there's only one minus sign. So this minus sign is the fermion sign. So this shows that the bound state of EM in this V2 plus K model is actually an emergent fermion. So can we use this emergent fermion to make a Marana chain? This is an interesting idea because we are going to make a condensed matter system upon another condensed matter system. That is the condensed matter system of this Marana chain, in which the elementary fermion are the composite, actually the emergent fermion of this Z2 plus K model. So to make a Marana chain, how to make a Marana chain? So the Marana chain is actually a one-dimensional Fermi liquid with P-wave pairing. However, the fermions in the Z2 plus K model are gap excitations and are not available in the low energy sector. So in order to get a Fermi liquid, we first need to soften these fermions by kinetic motion, that is by introducing hopping. So if we introduce hopping, the band will get dispersed. And if the dispersion is large enough, eventually the band bottom will be lower into the negative energy. So that is effectively as we set the chemical potential into the band. Then we get some kind of Fermi liquid here around the band bottom. And then we can introduce the P-wave pairing to make a superconductor. And that will gap out the Fermi surface. So we turn on the pairing, we get a Fermi liquid plus P-wave pairing, so that gives us a Marana chain. So we should do all the above things along a one-dimensional line in the Z2 plus K model. So therefore, we introduce a line defect to the Z2 plus K model by picking out a long line of sight like this. We pick out these sites. And of course, I draw here finite number of sites, but actually we mean a thermodynamically long site. So this is a one-dimensional system then. We turn on the hopping and pairing term of these emergent fermions along this line of sight. And turns out that the hopping and pairing term for the emergent fermion is simply sigma y operator. This is because the sigma y operator can be viewed as sigma z followed by a sigma x. So let's consider the first site. If we act a sigma z operator, that will create a pair of electric charge. And then we act a sigma x operator to create a pair of magnetic charge. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Oh, we simply choose these sites and apply this G sigma y additional term on these sites because this sigma y is a on-site qubit operator. Yeah. Yeah. Just add one extra term to the original Hamiltonian. Oh, okay. So we see that sigma z actually creates a pair of E charge, and acting sigma x creates a pair of M charge. So we conclude that the action of sigma y is actually to create a pair of fermions. And then by further applying y to the next site, and we can actually move these fermions to the next double plucket. So the action of sigma y actually creates or annihilates the fermions in pairs, and to move the fermions around this defect line that we choose. So in terms of the fermion creation and annihilation operator, sigma y can be written as this pairing term that creates the fermions and the hopping terms that move the fermions and plus Hermitian conjugate. So the effective theory of this Flaquet model with the line defect, which means we apply this additional sigma y term to this line of sight with this line defect, is simply the Kitaev's Marana chain model. And this G term, it becomes a fermion pairing and hopping term. And this chemical potential term actually comes from the fact that each fermion carries 4 units of G, as required by the OP operator in the original Hamiltonian. So this G term drives the fermion pairing and hopping along this defect line. And for small g, then nothing special will happen, we just have the dense dispersion. And if the G increase and exceed the critical value GC equals 2 for this large G, then we end up with a Marana chain with fermion condensation. This large G will drive this Hamiltonian into the topological phase with Marana zero modes at both ends of the defect line, here and here. So these two Marana zero modes at the end of the defect line can lead to a twofold ground state degeneracy, actually twofold additional ground state degeneracy of the Flaquet model.
Send him a text message to tell him the sound's died?
I think he can. I don't know if you hear us, but we cannot hear you. I think he keeps explaining because the mouse part is moving. Stop the mouse.
Hi, can you hear me now? Ah, finally. Can you see me now? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's some connection problem maybe. Okay. So let me continue. continue. Okay, so just now we start from the small g limit, and now we want to consider the what? Okay. Yeah. Okay. To stop the video. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, sorry for this problem. Yeah. Okay. So previously we talked about this in the small g limits we can make a Marana chain, and then we tune this g over a critical value gc equals 2, then that drives this Marana chain model to its topological phase with fermion condensation and Marana zero mode. And now we are going to consider the other limit, that is the large g limit. So by looking into this Hamiltonian, this large g, G is like actually like an external Zeeman field applying to this defect site. So if you have the infinite large G, then that this term of course will polarize all the qubits along this defect line on this site to the sigma y equals minus 1 state. So that means the qubits are quenched to the sigma 1 equals minus 1 state and cannot flip to the other state. So this completely quenched the qubit degree of freedom. And these qubits along this on this site cannot couple to the other qubits. So as if these sites were removed from the system. So if we remove this site, and then they simply disappear. But this is not good. We are not going actually to consider the infinite large G limit. So for large but finite G, some perturbation effect of this OP term will enter. And this perturbation effect will actually seal up the branch cut like this. So this makes the model, the effect theory, as the Clerquet model with lattice dislocation. Here and here. So to make this large G the ground state of the system, the ground state of this G term is simply. Yeah. Oh, no problem. So. Yeah, okay. So I just want to make this argument more concrete because that's simply hand-waving argument. So let's look into the details of this, how does this perturbation effect work? So that is the next slide. Okay, so we start from the ground state of this G term, which simply has all these qubits. Polarized to sigma y equals minus 1 state, represented by this empty circle. So this empty circle here. So now we add the perturbation of OP term to the ground state. So that means we have these rings. And if the ring operator touches the defect line, the two qubits at the crossing point will be excited to sigma y equals plus one state, represented by this yellow circle, by this yellow circles here. This is because the Plaquet operator OP and sigma y do not commute with each other, as can be seen from this picture, that this ring and this crossing has a single crossing here, actually. So when you commute sigma y and OP, you get a minus sign. So that means the action of OP operator will actually change the eigenvalue of sigma y from minus 1 to plus 1. So this takes the qubit from its ground state to excited state. So that excites the qubit at the crossing point to the high energy state of the energy scale G. And this high energy state can be brought back to the low energy sector immediately by the application of another OP operator on the other side sharing the same crossing. So by acting another ring, it's flipped back to the ground state. So during this perturbation process, the rest of the qubits in the system will experience the action of actually a double Plaquet operator. So the same perturbation process can be carried out at the end of this defect line. Like we can have ring here and excite these qubits, and then use another ring to bring it back to the low energy sector, and then we will have another shape of double Plaquet operator surrounding the end. So now we see the low energy effective theory is Hamiltonian with this double Plaquet operator acting across the qubits. On the qubits across the defect line, and the qubits on the defect line are simply this Plaquet operator doesn't act on the qubits across the on this defect line, so they can be simply removed from the system. And then it is clear that the effective theory is actually a Plaquet model with this location here and here. So the lattice dislocations are actually synthesized by applying this external field G to this branch cut line without actually altering the underlying lattice structure. So we call it synthetic dislocations. The synthetic dislocations are flexible, and they can be created easily and can be moved around by changing the configuration of this external G field. That means to switch on and off this external field on the branch cut line. We can create them and move them around. So adding each pair of synthetic dislocations to the system will increase the ground state degeneracy by a factor of 2. So these dislocations can actually mimic the Majorana zero model, can be used at, for quantum topological quantum computations. So to show that the ground state degeneracy actually increased by a factor of 2, we can actually count the ground state degeneracy associated to the dislocation. So we start from a model with no lattice, no synthetic dislocation. So suppose we have a system of n sites, and then the Hilbert space dimension is simply 2 to the power of 2 to the number of sites, because on each side you have 2 states. So the ground state is given by this constraint that OP acting on the ground state equals gives a plus 1 eigenvalue. Actually single out state from the 2 possible eigenstates of this OP operator. So each of these constraints will restrict the Hilbert space by 1/2. So suppose the number of constraints is 2 to the number of constraints, then the ground state is simply the space dimension divided by 2 to the number of constraints. So now let's consider applying the strong external field G. To quench L So to quench. This side. So because this side, the cubic degrees of freedom are quenched, then 2 to both sides minus L. However, the single will not find double plus L. Hello, hello, can you hear me now? Oh, I'm so sorry.
I don't think it's your okay, so
the internet connection.
Right.
So it's not very good at China. Maybe.
So let's try again. So you were telling us
okay.
The number of
the okay, let me
We don't hear you.
So actually, I said you can apply external fields to quench these qubits, right? And here, but hello.
Hello. The sound keeps coming and going.
Hello? Oh.
Maybe we should talk.
Hi.
I think we will.
Okay.
I think this is we will ask if we can change something here. Can you wait for a second?
Maybe we can try turn off.
Okay.
But it's probably is uploaded. It's not
downloaded. Yeah. No, so she
said that was on the problem. He's keep receiving our.
But it's not. In the, I think the restriction says upload.
Oh,
I think so. Right? Usually the upload is much lower than the
download. It depends on the internet.
Okay, well, we can switch it off.
Sure. Yeah.
We can do that, but
it doesn't matter.
The definition said
at the last
problem.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, maybe we just keep trying. Please continue.
Okay, so I've just talked about using the external field to quench this, to quench the qubit degree of freedom on this side. And this will remove this side from the system. So it reduced the Hilbert dimension from originally 2 to the number of sides, and now it's number of sides minus L. However, the single Plaquet operators in these two rows are now replaced by the double Plaquet operators. So the number of these Plaquet operators also reduced by L plus 1, because we have L plus 1 Plaquets here, double Plaquets here. So it is like the number of constraints are relaxed by L plus 1. So the ground state, so you can see the relaxation of these constraints goes faster than the reduction of the Hilbert space dimension. So the ground state degeneracy must increase, and indeed it will increase by a factor of 2. So this shows each pair of these synthetic dislocations actually associated to twofold of additional ground state degeneracy. So of course this twofold degeneracy can be interpreted as a Marana zero mode here and here. But that's not the most essential thing. The essential thing is that we actually have a two-dimensional Hilbert space of many-body states, which are exactly degenerated. And this two-dimensional degenerated state is associated to these synthetic lattice dislocations. So can we actually increase this degeneracy from 2 to 3 or 4 or 5? So if we look at this 2, actually it comes from here and here. So here it means that on each side you have 2 states. And here it means each OP operator has 2 eigenvalues. So in order to go from 2 to n, we actually just need n states and n-valued OP operators. So that immediately leads us to the ZM Plaquet model. So going from 2 to n, that's very simple. That's you start from the two-state qubits, and now you replace the two states by an n-state quantum rotor, which means on each side, we have n quantum states now. So these are n states. So in the original qubit, in the Z2 case, we use sigma z operator to measure the qubits and sigma x to flip the qubit. And now for the n-state rotor, we use the operator u to measure the rotor state and operator v to raise, operator v to lower the state. So to lower the state. And here the difference is that in the Z2 case, the raising and lowering operator are the same, that is sigma x operator, because you just have two states and you simply flip them. But for this Zn case, the raising operator is actually the Hermitian conjugate of the lowering operators, so they are not the same. And they have the sense of direction. Actually, the U and U dag are not the same. V and V dag are the same. They have kind of that. So in order to reflect this difference, undirected string, directed string. So the U and U dag presented graphically by the slash orientation. V deck by an anti-opposite orientation. Upgrade the Z case to the Zn case. Come to the commutation relation, mute with a minor anti. So the representation of U and V actually it's a Zn. So from two, simply do two things. First thing is to undirected directed string thing is to replace this minus sign Zn angle. So using this thing from the Z2 Plaquet model to the Zn Plaquet model, the Plaquets are now equations. And in the Z2 case, this ring operator has two eigenvalues, plus one or minus one. Plus one means the ground state, means no excitation. That means there's some excitation, either electric charge or magnetic charge, depending on the Plaquet. Is even or odd, so by this quantum number m. So m equals zero simply means, still means the ground state. And m equals one is one unit of positive charge. And m equals m minus one means one unit of negative charge, because the Zn model, in the Zn model, this charge has a periodicity of n. So this means we now have n states on each side, and this OP operator has n eigenvalues. So according to the previous argument, we will expect that we will be able to synthesize the lattice dislocation, which are associated to n-fold ground state degeneracy. So indeed, this can be achieved, again, by applying external field to a line of sight to quench them. So now the external field is coupled to an operator x. So following the sigma y in the Z2 case, we can write down this x operator, which is also a crossing like that, but now with orientations and made out of these U and V operators. So this X operator, we can show that they actually quench this rotor state along this effect line. And according to the then kind of a section of the perturbation argument, we can show that through this section of the process.
Okay. So it's the same.
Like So we still end up with this double of operator, and now they are all with a certain kind of orientation. So the lower is a single operators and use the same now, and we have operation and operate the associates. The zero mode or quantum dynamics have a quantum dynamics, or will have some kind of non-abelian statistics, just as the Marana zero mode. So actually, we can show that the breakthrough representations of these modes here actually thus follows the non-abelian statistics, which actually means if we break these two dislocations here, then the ground state will change among these n degenerated ground states. There will be a non-abelian change among these n states. So we have shown that this there is a n-fold degeneracy associated to the dislocation. So the question is that, is the degeneracy topological? Is the degeneracy stable against local perturbations? So let's go back to the Z2 model. So for the Z2 model, it's known that the Marana chain, in the Marana chain, the two degenerated ground states are differed by their fermion parity. So if you want to change the ground state of this Marana chain, you have to add one fermion to the Marana chain. And this can be done by using two strings like that to push one electric charge and one magnetic charge together into this plaquette, that is into this Marana chain. So this constitutes we call fermion charging string C. So acting this fermion charging string on the ground state will simply charge this Marana chain by one fermion. So that changes the Marana chain fermion parity and will change the ground state. So to detect the fermion parity of this Marana chain without exciting the system, we should find a closed loop that has a single crossing with this fermion charging string. So this kind of loop can only be this large loop enclosing this Marana chain region. So both the C operator and the O operator are closed strings, which means that they actually commute with all the plaquette operators in the system and also commute with the Hamiltonian. So this O operator and C operator will not change the energy of a state. So if we start from the ground state, O and C will only act within the ground state manifold. Therefore, we conclude that the ground state are actually connected by the fermion charging string C, and they are labeled by the eigenvalues of this.
Excuse me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have a question. When you say that the operator fermion charging string C operator that comes to the Hamiltonian. So this operator is not a closed loop, is it?
Oh, we assume open boundary conditions. So you can see it's an open end here, but it's at the boundary, so it's not an open end. And of course, there's some tricky thing here. Actually, if you can consider a periodic boundary condition, then actually you should have another pair of dislocations here, and you can close this fermion charging string.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I just present a very highly simplified version, but the idea is the same. So if you do it on the sphere, you have another pair of dislocations somewhere else. But basically, you can locally, if you look at the problem locally, you can see you can use some fermion charging string to change the fermion parity, and using some fermion parity operator to detect this parity. However, this C and O operator follows this anti-commutation relation. However, this relation has only one irreducible representation, that is this two-dimensional Pauli matrix representation. And the basis of this representation are simply the ground state, these twofold degenerate ground state. So you can see for this ground state, is one of these has a fermion parity even, and the other has an odd fermion parity. And these two ground states are related to each other by using this fermion charging string to charge one fermion, to change the fermion parity. So we conclude that the ground state manifold is basically the representation space of this loop algebra. So the two-dimensional representation of this algebra simply means that we have twofold additional ground state degeneracy. So how is this degeneracy stable? If we perturb the Hamiltonian by some local perturbations here, then these strings can circumvent the local perturbed region, and their algebra will simply remain the same. So it will result in the same representation and same ground state degeneracy. So therefore, this additional ground state degeneracy is stable against any local perturbation. The argument applies for the Zn case, external field, and also associated. We apply the external, and we get the additional ground state degeneracy. So can we actually engineer this ground state degeneracy by carefully design the external field? And the answer is yes. And the designing principle is to use anion condensation. So I haven't mentioned that in the ZM model, the EM bound state is actually an abelian anion, which means you wind them, if you exchange them around, you will get a ZM phase. So this is very simple. Because we start from the V2 to the Zn case, we change the commutation relation from this minus sign to this Zn phase. So therefore, the commutation of the mutual statistics of this E and M charge originally gets a minus sign, and now you will get a Zn phase. So when it comes to the E and M bound state like that, so in the Z2 case, you exchange the bound state, you get a minus sign. So now in the Zn case, for the same reason, and you will get the Zn phase just by this substitution. So this upgrades the fermions, the EM bound state from fermions to abelian anions with abelian anion phase, 2 pi over n. So we can actually condense these EM bound states along the defect line. So actually, the strong external field X coupled to X actually drives the anion condensation along this defect line. This is because if we look at the graphical representation of X, we can see if we apply X to some site, it will create electric and magnetic charge and create these EM bound state as anions. And then if you further apply this X operator, it will move these anions. So actually, X operator, if strong enough, will drive anion condensation along this defect line. So why is it important to mention this anion condensation? Anion condensation simply means we are free to add or remove this EM bound state along this line. So that means if you have an E charge going into this region, this E charge can actually combine with the M charge into an EM bound state and emit the other M charge, the negative M charge, out. So this becomes like a E charge going in and M charge going out. So this branch cut line or this defect line actually realize the EM mapping. So this phenomenon is very similar to the Andreev reflection in a BCS superconductor. In the BCS superconductor, we have a fermion pair condensed. So we have a, if we have a particle in, we will get a hole out. So here we have EM bound state condensed. So if we have an E charge in, we will get an M charge out. So this means that the E string and M string will be connected together at this, will be joined together along this defect line. So this jointing of this EM string will support this non-trivial algebra. Because if the E string does not go into the M string, then if it's E string again here, then the C operator and O operator will simply commute with each other. So we will not get any ground state additional ground state degeneracy. It is because we have this dislocation branch cut here, which realizes EM mapping and join the E string or continue the E string into an M string. So then we have a single crossing here of EM string, and commuting them will get this abelian phase, VM phase. So the C and O operator will have this loop algebra. And turns out that this loop algebra has an n-dimensional representation. And this n-dimensional representation will support, will be treated as the ground state manifold, basically. So this n-dimensional representation means we will have additional n-fold ground state, topologically protected ground state degeneracy. So let me conclude my talk in this slide. So I hope that I have convinced you that the zero mode in the single particle picture is simply like can be interpreted as the topological degeneracy in the many-body picture. And actually, the topological degeneracy, this many-body picture, allows us to generalize the Marana zero mode to higher quantum dimensions. And the designing principle is by anion condensation. So this is like a streamlined production of additional topological degeneracy. We start from the external driving field, like this sigma y field in the Z2 model and x field in the Zm model. And using these operators, applying them on a line of sight, we can drive anion condensation along this line of sight. And this will realize synthetic, this will create synthetic dislocations at both ends of the defect line. And these synthetic dislocation actually realize the anion mapping, like it maps the E charge to M charge and E charge to M charge here by going around the synthetic dislocations. So this anion mapping will support non-trivial loop algebra, that is the commutation between this C charging operator and this loop operator. So, and this loop algebra will give the representation space, and that is basically the dimension of the representation space is the topological degeneracy of associated to this dislocation. So if the ground state degeneracy is 2, that's Marana zero mode. It's greater than 2, then we go beyond the Marana zero mode. And this is can be immediately generalized to more general cases. Like we don't actually need to continue the E string into M string. We have other choice. Like we can do some kind of charge conjugate dislocations, which means we can continue a E string by its opposite oriented string. So by this kind of defect line, we will simply, if you send the E charge in, then you will get the opposite E charge, which means you get the charge conjugate charge out on the other side. So these kind of dislocations can also be synthesized by some kind of operators by simply condense the pair charge following the same spirit. Because if you want to get the opposite charge out, you actually need to condense the pair charge along this defect line. So this pair charge condensation can be derived by some operator like this. So we are able to show that actually this also supports some kind of non-trivial loop algebra and gives more exotic additional ground state degeneracy and even have some kind of even odd effect between this n with respect to this Zn label n. So we have only shown in this talk that we have additional topological degeneracy, but actually can this loop algebra to show that these synthetic dislocations actually follows non-abelian statistics. And we can actually work out the braid group representation of these non-abelian statistics for these synthetic dislocations. So finally, I would like to point out that our work is among a series of ongoing research starting from 2010, maybe. And that's beyond the search of Marana zero mode. Let's go to the higher quantum dimension. And there are works in the multi-layer fractional quantum Hall effect. And along that line of thought, recently there has been many proposals of realizing this generalized Marana zero mode in the fractional topological insulator, ferromagnetic, and superconductor interface. And Bobbin's work of lattice dislocation points out another direction. And through along this direction, we are able to show that we can actually design this additional topological ground state degeneracy and design these non-abelian statistics systematically by anion condensation. So there are still some open questions, like can we generalize the above construction to non-abelian models or to higher space dimensions? And can we consider some dynamical effect of this anion condensation line? So those are all challenging problems. So that's my talk, and thanks for your attention. So I'm open to questions.
Okay, let me see if we have any questions. Any questions?
I have a couple of questions. One is,
okay.
I am used to seeing a Torricot Hamiltonian with star term and the Blackwell term. Now, does it offer any advantage, does that representation, in doing whatever you are doing? Because you also get electric and magnetic charge, I believe.
Oh, yeah. These two models are completely different. You can map one from.
Okay. So my question is, if I work in Kitaev's representation in terms of star terms and Blackwell terms, yeah, will it be easy to this? Will the physics be more transparent? I understand what you are doing. Just a question. It's a question of.
Oh, then.
Does it offer an advantage?
Okay, let me see.
Because then each term had completely commuting things like sigma xxx and then sigma z.
So in the Kitaev model, it will be like this.
Hmm.
This.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I think the communication is breaking.
The tape will be the
problem.
And the blue tape will actually be the tape. And he typed that.
Okay, yeah.
It's actually,
sorry, you know,
the lattice size of the Kitaev torical model rests in this replicate. Sorry?
Yeah, no, we had problem in hearing you, but I understand roughly your answer. So let me go to the next question. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I'm sorry. Probably you don't hear me.
Maybe it's just that we cannot hear.
Oh, I didn't know my question will have this effect.
You have to think.
Hello.
Hello, yes. We are back. Yeah. So my next question.
Hello.
Hello? Do you hear
okay.
me?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So my next question is, I was hoping that your generalization will bring in Fibonacci anion. So is there a way of getting Fibonacci anion, you know, the golden mean as a quantum dimension?
In these models, we haven't found Fibonacci anion, but I guess maybe if we upgrade the underlying model from, because this underlying V2 or ZN model are abelian models,
yes.
Maybe if upgrade to a non-abelian model, that's possible.
Because some of my colleagues were trying that. Okay. Now, the next question is, suppose you have a T junction. You have a Lyne defect. Suppose you have a T junction What will happen there? Do you hear me?
You can also play this zero mode.
Uh-huh.
Arana zero mode, like what people do in the T-junction.
I see.
We do have 3 amps.
So actually, you may wonder that these zero modes, actually, because I only show that we have this effective theory of a Marana chain, so is that also equivalent to a zero mode in the two-dimensional P plus IP superconductor? And in fact, that's equivalent. And we can show that actually these zero modes also attach a pi flux vortex.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker again.